brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. And as I say so often, I hope it is food for you. There could be just one line of scripture that touches you, and it makes a difference. Listen to the words carefully. See what God is saying to you. Let's take a look at the first reading for today. It's from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 7 to 9. So this is a short reading. Thus says the Lord, shout with joy for Jacob, exalt at the head of the nations. Proclaim your praise and say, the Lord has delivered his people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them back from the land of the north. I will gather them from the ends of the world, with the blind and the lame in their midst, the mothers and those with child. They shall return as an immense throng. They departed in tears, but I will console them and guide them. I will lead them to brooks of water on a level road, so that none shall stumble. For I am a father to Israel. Ephraim is my firstborn. Just that little bit, brothers and sisters, that God is saying once again how much he wants to love us, how he looks upon us with love. And so often today, even more, I hear people swearing so much, taking the name of the Lord in vain, when this God brought us to life, this God watches over us, this God will bring us to himself at the end of our lives. I don't know about you, but there's only one place I want to be, and that's heaven. Maybe I have a stop in purgatory, probably. But I want to be in heaven with the Lord. I want to adore him. Brothers and sisters, he's been scorned by so many, ridiculed. His name has been taken in vain more times than we could possibly count. Let's take that out of our vocabulary. If it's there, get rid of it. Put another word in its place, but not something about God. Jesus loves you, and he would desire so much that you would love him in return. Psalm 126 tells us, the Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like men dreaming. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with rejoicing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad indeed. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the torrents in the southern desert. Those that sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown, they shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves. Brothers and sisters, we too can receive so much from the Lord if we open our hearts, if we receive what he has for us, whether it's difficult times or rejoicing times. No matter what, that God will bring us to peace if we identify ourselves with him and ask him, Lord, help me. Please help me. Show me what I should do. And God will do that. And then the letter to the Hebrews, brothers and sisters, that's chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. Brothers and sisters, every high priest is taken from among men and made their representative before God to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. He is able to deal patiently with the ignorant and the erring, for he himself is beset by weakness, and so for this reason must make sin offerings for himself as well as for the people. No one takes this honor upon himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, it was not Christ who glorified us in becoming high priest, but rather the one who said to him, "You are my son. This day I have begotten you," just as he says in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Brothers and sisters, do we really pay attention to the family with whom we belong? Do we see those who have gone before us? Brothers and sisters, what do we do to glorify the Lord? Can we get rid at least of one word where we swear, "Please don't take the name of the Lord our God in vain"? Please, may you lift him high in your thoughts and in your prayers. And where it's appropriate, may you share something you have learned from him. Not all the time, never that. But just once, you know, once a month, something like that. If they'd like it, give them more. Brothers and sisters, God loves you, and he needs, as I've said before, he needs disciples. He needs more who are really committed to him. He wants to see that we truly are following him. I often think it must be hard for Jesus to have given his life, to have been nailed to a cross. He hung there for our salvation. Do you really think that God did that for you? That was not just for anybody. It was for you. Please, brothers and sisters, let's draw close to him and follow him more closely. Mark 10, verses 46 to 52. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a lame man, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth coming toward him, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." And Jesus stopped, look at that, and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you." He threw aside of his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." And Jesus told him, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. Notice that the blind man said, "Master, I want to see." And Jesus told him, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." He said, "Well, wait a minute." But then right after that, he received his sight and followed him on the way. Brothers and sisters, I think of all the blind today, and we have all kinds of contraptions to help them, but it's still very, very difficult. Brothers and sisters, what about in Jesus' day? People sit by a stream where they think they might be recovering, or they try to pray God to do it. Just say, "Lord, I know I'm in your hands. I know that you love me. Please forgive me my sin. And please, according to your will, would you hear my sight? Would you heal my sight?" Whatever that may be, Jesus brings us the good news. And that good news is the greatest news in the world, that one day we can be with him forever. But what we have to do in this life is to live more and more like him. I don't mean that you have to go around healing and all of that, but kindness to your neighbor, building a friendship with someone who needs it, taking some time on the way home from work to pick something up for a neighbor who you know cannot walk. Whatever the case may be in your situation, however people may be ill, a bad heart, whatever that confines them to bed, or at least to the house. Please be kind. Please reach out. Please be good. And then Jesus will draw you nearer and nearer to him, because you are like a friend of his, and you're following him, and you love him. And oh my, he does hear that. And he knows that, and he will receive it. I want to close this program by reading this from Jose Maria Escriva, who is now a saint. He says, "Don't you too feel the same urge to cry out? You too also are waiting at the side of the way, of this highway of life that is so very short. You who need more light, you who need more grace, to make up your mind to seek holiness. Don't you feel an urgent cry to cry out, 'Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me'? What a beautiful aspiration for you to repeat again and again. I recommend that you meditate slowly on the events preceding the miracle to help you keep this fundamental idea clearly engraved upon your minds. What a world of difference there is between the merciful heart of Jesus and our own poor hearts. This thought will help you at all times, and especially in the hour of trial and temptation, and also when the time comes to be generous in the little duties you have, or in moments when heroism is called for." Many of them rebuked him, telling him to be silent, as people have done to you when you sensed that Jesus was passing your way. Please, brothers and sisters, draw closer to him. Draw closer to him. Be the one who brings him to other people. That takes a lot of work. But just say to people, don't say anything. You don't have to say anything about what God said to you, but say, "I think the Lord is here with us. Why don't we just say the Lord's Prayer together? Why don't we say the Decade of the Rosary together? Why don't we go to Mass together? I've mentioned these things before to you. I want to encourage you. Whatever benefit you get from this program, please share it. Please give to other people. Because I see so many. I see so many whose hearts are down. All that we've gone through recently in the last year or so has not been easy. Brothers and sisters, not for children, not for the adults. Nobody has had it easy. Brothers and sisters, let's just say right now on this program, let's say, "Jesus, please come and help me. I want to follow you more and more. Please draw me close to yourself, and please, in whatever way you wish, show me what you want me to do." God will hear that prayer, and he will help you. God bless you and take care of you. May we all be disciples of Jesus. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.